Hey, it's your man KJ. We back. Dr. Sai, what you got for me this year?
You rocking with the village. Let's get it.
We back, y'all. 2017. And welcome to the village. Welcome to the village. It's your man KJ. Tonight I got my boys in the village, grown man status. I got my man Chance and I got my man Slink. What's good, fellas? How y'all doing today?
Doing good, man. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir.
What's up, fella?
Hey, it's been a minute. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, man. I had to take a little week off last week. I had some other things going on. You know how it is.
Yes, sir.
So anyways, we are live, we are in the village, we got it going. Fellas, how are things with y'all? What's going on? How y'all living?
Hey, it's good. I'm enjoying life out here, Cali. You know, got a big hug from Trump. You know, I'm just doing good.
What you mean you got a big hug from Trump?
You know, he came through with, you know, Mr. Cheeto Puff, and you know, he spit a little knowledge on the TV. I was just impressed.
Mm. So. And what knowledge was that? Please enlighten us. Please enlighten us.
You know, his whole Syria status. You know, his love of, and his loyalty to Bill O'Reilly. You know, just. I'm just enjoying it.
Oh, okay.
I am enjoying it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's all I can say about that, man.
The impeachment is going to be good.
It's going to be epic, bro. It's going to be epic. Yeah, man. Okay, so Slink had to bow out for a second. As soon as he lets me know what's going on with him, I'll bring him back on. But anyways, man. Hey, brother, you ready to jump into this, bro?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So since you went ahead and discussed it first, man, let's talk about this impeachment. Let's talk about what the chances of him getting impeached now. So Village Word Now, what's called the What the Trump segment. I'm sorry. We're in segment one here, What the Trump, WTT. And I'm with my boy Chance here, with my man Chance. I'm sorry. And I want to know, man, what are your thoughts? What do you think is his chances of getting impeached? Are they going up slowly, or what's going on?
You know, I think it's kind of almost baked in at this point. Just looking at the amount of just the evidence of corruption and, you know, really treasonous acts that have been going on. I really think it's baked in. I don't really know what everyone's waiting for. I would imagine we're going to be surprised more with the depth and how many people are involved. And perhaps, you know, when you have a major upset in the government, you're going to need, what are you going to do? You have to replace these people. So they probably have to have some kind of contingency plan to have the government operate when this goes down.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I imagine the FBI, the Secret Service, they're going to be putting a lot of people in handcuffs in high positions. And it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting, man. For me, the biggest thing, and Slink is back with us, y'all. Villa Slink is back. But the biggest thing for me with looking at all this is, do we really have enough? You know what I mean? Because we can sit here and say all day that this can be this and this can be that and we can get them for this. But, you know, are they really putting it into play, or is it just a, or is this process a slow moving process? That's what really needs to be answered. So I'm going to throw it to you, Slink. Do you think it's a slow moving process, or, you know, do we even have enough to even really begin saying impeachment?
It's a slow moving process, in my opinion. And when you say, do we have enough for impeachment? You think about the whole, this whole situation, this man being president. I mean, you know, I know kids watch the show. I don't want to be like, say it's nothing bad, like, you know, President Blank Gravel, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So somebody with the audacity to do those type of things, they've made it to this point. So in my mind, I mean, it can be done. This is a country, you know, of people that make things happen. But it's a slow moving process. I think if they're going to go that route of impeachment, I think there's enough stuff there. I mean, I think if this was some candidates, politicians of the past years, because this dude is so unorthodox that they really don't know how to handle it. I think if this would have happened in the past with, let's say, I mean Bill Clinton, presidents before, I mean, you saw with Clinton, I mean, you know, that wasn't right what he did in those circumstances, but compared to the stuff that's going on right now, that's child's play back then.
Mm-hmm.
So if the stuff that we're dealing with, you know, we got to this point, I mean, it could be fixed, I believe, as far as like, you know, all the balls get the rolling for the impeachment. But I mean, it's a slow process. I mean, because like Chance was saying, it's not just him, but you have to look at all the dealings of the people that are in his court.
Yeah, in his circle.
All mm-hmm. You know, it's such a mess. So.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a slow moving process. So, you know, at the minimum, the way I look at it is the more he tweets, the more he speaks, it's just the more he's going to keep putting more evidence to kind of bury himself. And that's really what I'm taking from all this, is he's kind of giving us the ammunition, which is fine. Just there. Keep talking.
I mean, definitely there. This is a big case of shooting himself in the foot. It's there, but I mean, it's almost like it's slapping us in the face as a society. It's like, okay, it's on you guys to do something about it. It's so blatant. This guy, everything they're doing is, I don't know, it's self-interest, setting things up for when they're out of office and to keep things the status quo. I mean, keep people distracted with these tweets and all this other frivolous stuff that they throw out. And you don't know what's, you have to really seek information and knowledge now, because it's like, you don't know what's what. So it makes it just a difficult situation. But I believe what we could get, you know, I believe the impeachment thing, I mean, some straw's got to break the camel's back. So,
yeah.
Anything else on this, gentlemen? Chance, you got anything else?
You know, I'm just, it is a major slap in the face of the, you know, not so much of the people that didn't vote for Trump, but really for the people that really believed and fell into, I mean, honestly believed his nonsense. Yeah. Those people are getting a big wake up call. These poor rural GOPers, you know, taking away Meals on Wheels so you can give a $500 billion tax break to wealthy people. You know, all this kind of stuff, lying to the West Virginians about the origins of their of coal and why coal is failing, and saying that you're going to bring that back. You know, pipelines with American steel, and it's not happening. All these things that he's promised, and it's not happening.
He's not in tune with reality. Sorry to cut you off, Chance.
That's all right. You know, and the thing is, I don't take it as a slap in the face for personally, because I never accepted any of that stuff as reality. But those people that actually did, I actually empathize with them, because a lot of them genuinely had something to, you know.
Yeah. You, me personally, like I was telling Kevin last week, I hate to be that person that's like, I told you so. you know, I empathize with what you say, Chance. Yeah, person. You know, I have people that I've been known for years, man. And it's like, look, man, you can't buy into that. I mean, right. In my perspective, not just as giving you this as a black man, I'm giving you this as just a human being. Do not buy into that. But they did. Mm-hmm. So now we got to be like, okay, all right, we got you. Okay, we're not going to be like that. Come on, let's do what we need to do to get this joke up, to get this right, get things right. But you know what? There's a positive to all this stuff, guys. I mean, now those people that kind of got duped and are seeing the truth, they're like, you know what, man, we're all in the same boat together. And this is, hey, we go on and on, Chance and Kev. On and on with it, man. On and on.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to this next one, because we could go on and on about that one here. Let's go on and on. Let's talk about this, the issues that we're having in the region. And by the region, and when I say region, Chance and Sling know what I'm talking about, the region. For those of you that don't know what the region is, it's the UAE, United Arab Emirates, Iraq, Iran, things of that nature, those areas. That's what we call the region for the most part. With under 45, you know, are we looking at increased violence in the region right now based off of what he's saying? Or are we looking at basically he's helping promote violence and recruit for such terrorist groups as ISIS and things of that nature? And I don't know what do y'all think about that?
What you say, Chan? You know, this latest flurry of attacks from Assad in Syria kind of speaks to that. You know, he's gassing innocent men, women, and children. I mean, hundreds of children died from a gas attack, a gas that's, you know, been banned by treaty by all UN nations. And
And Chance, real quick, let me say this real quick. The gas that they use, in case you don't know, they've confirmed it was a sarin gas. Basically, it's a nerve agent that basically shuts down the system, and if not taken care of, immediately will kill you. So, I'm sorry, Chance. Go ahead, man.
Oh, that's all right. But so you know, you look at this, you look at you know, his flip flopping with Israel, telling Israel that we support you, but you guys got to shut down your settlement expansion, but if you keep doing it, it's okay. You know, this whole support of Assad, talking about, you know, I'm going to expand outside the region, you know, saying you're going to attack North Korea unilaterally if necessary, all this kind of stuff, he's trying to, so this is the big distraction. A sitting president has not been reelected in the U.S. during a time of war. So one of the biggest distractions you can give the American people is a war. And I'm thinking that his backers are hoping that a war will distract the American public. And it's also a way for a strong man to, you know, kind of show some you know, feign some strength and intelligence. Unfortunately, it's going to be a failure on both accounts. I think, yes, we are going to see more violence and more death and bloodshed in the Middle East. And a lot of it's going to be, unfortunately, Americans that are going to end up dead, because he's putting more boots on the ground. He's not reporting troop movements in Iraq and Iran. And in that region any longer. So that is code for he's doing a troop buildup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed.
No transparency with it. No transparency. So you don't know what's going on over there. Only time you know what's going on when they basically mess up, when something goes on or something goes awry. That's when we kind of figuring out. But like you're saying, Chance, I think there is they move with those troop buildups and stuff. And you kind of keep hearing little special operations. Again, they're moving away from, like, Obama administration with those drones and stuff like that. Man, that's that area is, like I always say, just constantly something going on. And now you have these major players. You have, I could never recall back in the past with Russia being really involved in much in that area. All these players are getting together. But it's just such a mixed up feel because you got guys that are, you know, it's mercenary mode with those guys down there. Those guys, the ideology guys, the ISIS guys, those guys, you know, you have Assad, you have the Russians, you have the U.S., and you don't really know who's on whose side. It seems like every week it switches, or every couple months. It's like first we were trying to put down our foot, like, you better not do this, but then things happen. And so now we're like, okay, you get this new president in. You know, like you said, it's all about distractions, smoke and mirrors. So, and war also creates money. It's a way to also capture resources over there too.
And that's exactly what I was thinking.
Already said that they're really, this administration is really in tune with fossil fuels. So there's a lot of fossil fuel reserves over there, things that they get their hands on. They, you know, it's a money thing too. It's so many things that's mixed up in that it's like, I don't know, with those factions, the different factions that are there, you know, it's everybody has some kind of ulterior motive, and their motives keep changing. So, and these are people that are from the outside. So the people that are there, the people that are being hurt, they're being basically hurt by proactive wars, basically through these nations that have beefs with each other. And so all this is going on their soil, you know, and it's just not right. I don't know what a solution will be to that. I mean, I don't know, because nobody has the true right intentions. The people that are stepping in from the outside. So I think it's just going to keep on bubbling. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I'm going to say this, and then we'll kind of move on. I definitely agree with both of you. The biggest thing is, I think, is what for me, what Slink said, and Chance for that matter. You know, we're creating a potential war, but this is really about resources, you know, oil, the fossil fuels, things of that nature, the wealth that is over in this country, right? These are the things that are in abundance in this area, right? And so, of course, you'll create an issue to go over there and take what you cannot just afford or you can't just readily get, right? We've all been over there. Most of us, for the most part, we can't go into details about what we did. It is what it is. But we all know the truth of what happens, what really goes on once you're in the region. And there it is. But the biggest thing is resources. Boots on the ground and resources. Can we go over there with drones and take out most of these cats? Yes, I believe we can. Technology is far more advanced. I think this would be the time to literally have a field day with drone strikes and everything else. That's my personal opinion. So, yeah, that's all I got on that one, guys.
Dude's got a lot of bravado. It's easy for him to put troops on the ground.
Yeah.
You have a type of person that is almost like, this is my personal opinion, you have a heartless regime that's in there. I mean, no matter how they want to gloss it over, you have a heartless regime in there. So their intentions are, they're going to take that step that the previous regimes were probably shy towards going that route. But this guy's not afraid to put our kids on the ground there. You know, he's not afraid. You know, he just don't care.
And let's be honest here, it's a majority black and brown.
No doubt.
Let's just be honest here.
Those are your mercenaries. These people, I look at a person that goes into service, and if it's not a traditional thing where it's a family tradition thing, personally, you're a mercenary. You could be a sophisticated mercenary where you learn all these different things, but you're a mercenary. That's what I consider myself. But I do it for my family, did it for you guys, did it for everybody. We all did it for each other because we love this place and we see the potential in this place. You know, so that's just how, you know, man, we can go on and on with this stuff, man. I love talking to you guys, man.
Yeah, definitely.
Glad to be here. I just have to say that again.
Go ahead, Chance, and then we'll move to the next topic. What you got on this?
You know, the sad truth about all of this is, you know, we can go to war, we can spill all this blood, but we're not going to change anyone's minds. We're not going to affect the ideology. It's all we do is spill blood, and instead of you know, affecting the root causes for why these people are like this, you know, we spend billions of dollars in the military, and we have homeless people in the streets of America. You know, why not take a small fraction of that and start housing and taking care of our own? We could still have a strong military, but give these people hope. We could do that everywhere around the world, you know. And it's just a set of priorities. We would much rather oppress somebody and have that bravado and show our strength than to show compassion. Mm-hmm. And yet we call ourselves a Christian nation. Mm-hmm. No part of that is Christian.
None.
Not at all.
No. 100% agree with you, Chance. 100%. All right, man. So let's move on to this next one here. Dog, North Korea is smooth firing missiles, man.
The young man's beating his chest over there. He's been beating his chest. He don't care.
Kim Jong-un, or however you say this man's name, is smooth firing missiles.
I don't care. You know, I think they're inspiring him now. See, at first, he was like, Obama, he's like, okay, these guys, you know, we're going to test these guys, okay? He's putting the sanctions, you know, my folks, these people, you know, I'm just worrying about the elite. Everybody's, you know, I'm a god here. These guys now, he's like Trump, these guys in office, these guys are kind of aggressive. So they want to posture. So now it's my time to posture even more. So he's probably going to do some, just continue to do these outrageous things, probably to a more increased level. Probably, you know. Because every now and then, it was a surprise. It would be like once a year and a half, every 2 years, they shoot one up to test their missiles, the capabilities. But now it's like, dudes like, and they're getting better and better, too, with each launch, too. Mm-hmm. So, and in their minds, and technically, we're still at war with that country. They've never forgotten about us. It's like the bully, or now they're calling us a bully, but it's saying like you get in a fight with somebody. The one person like, I got the best of the situation, or I'm out of this situation, I'm gone. But that other person, everybody's not built the same. That other person is still thinking about it, and they're festering on it. So that war was ended like in the end of the 50s, right? So that's a long time. That's before we were all born. And they are still festering. It's passed down from generation to generation. Each leader is just almost a copycat of the one before, but a little bit more tyrannical. So.
And there it is.
There it is.
My brother Chance, man, what are your thoughts on this one?
Man, thank you. You did it. Yeah, that was a great summation. You know, I look at the Trump, you know, I look at Trump, I look at Putin and, you know, and China, and then you get Kim Jong-un. You know, he's basically the Korean Trump, is what he's North Korean Trump. Yeah. And he sees what happens when Trump is king, and you know, the missile launches and everything. It's a lot of bravado. It's a lot of, you know, he's definitely pounding his chest, but what you end up with in reality, he's a scared little boy. He does not want to go to war. He's got, his country is already starving. They're hungry, and he's losing the backing of China. You know, China's not buying North Korean coal anymore. Mm-hmm. They have enough of their own. So that was North Korea's biggest source of income. They're having to go back to kidnapping South Koreans now. You know,
They really are. Kevin's but right. They really are, man.
And Village, forgive me.
That country didn't play his hand right with communism, man. It really didn't. China's moved. China's moving on. Even like the coal issue, China's like, man, we're going into this renewable stuff. We're going into they have the most like as far as the wind farms.
Oh yeah.
Going into solar energy. So the thing that North Korea had, that kind of little thing, the ace in the back and pocket, like, you know what, big brother, you still need me. I may be acting up, big brother, but you need me because you need this. Your country is the most populous on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
You need fuel.
Yeah.
And you guys are advancing. So you need fuel to for this advancement. So we got what you need. Now we don't need that anymore, little brother. You better act right. And so now you're seeing in this UN and this UN meetings and whatnot, China's stances to me, by my readings, it seemed like it's just a little bit like, okay, they slowly but surely distancing themselves from those guys. So I don't know. And I agree 100% with you, Chance. He doesn't want any. He really doesn't. But it's, I don't know, it's a show of bravado. And, you know, he's seeing Putin and all these other world leaders, what do you want to call it, the big boy club. And so He wants to fit in. It's a legacy thing. They've always been that way, that country. They want to fit in. They want to fit in, you know. And so, and one more thing, just to not to make this so long-winded, Chance, I really like what you were saying as far as the comparison between Lil' Kim. I don't call him man there because I'm not trying to be funny. Kim Jong-un,
yeah,
Trump. I mean, that is literally what can happen. People don't realize that in our society, things can go awry. Everybody gets so comfortable because things are it's tranquil compared to a lot of places. And things, the system just keeps going and going and going. But people don't know that there have been countries like this on the planet that have ruled for way longer than we have and had societies just advanced for their time and they crumble.
Right.
Those things can happen here. I always tell my wife, you have to be prepared about stuff. I'm not trying to be like some kind of like conspiracy theorist or just one of those bunker dudes. No, that's not me, but I'm a realist. Things can happen, but things can really happen. Things can go awry. We've seen it. I mean, we've seen it all over the world. I mean, so, you know, but I agree with you 100% on that, Chance. 100.
Yeah, you know, look, people forget, you know, we have such short memory. Yugoslavia, 1984, they hosted the Olympics. Yeah. And not 10 years later, that country is torn apart in war.
That's on the biggest
stage
worldwide.
You look at that, and you look at the U.S. We are prime for civil war.
Oh yes, that's indeed. You
know, I mean, we are so divided as a country. We have two distinct populations. We have two distinct sources of information, and you know, one side thinks the other side is crazy. And, you know, and the truth lies somewhere in the middle. You have one side that doesn't believe science, is trying to quell science. You if you don't support that side, you're a traitor. You have another side that doesn't truly understand the depth of that, the depth of the pain and the dissidence of those people that feel left behind because, you know, they're coal miners. And they high school dropouts and, you know, auto workers, their jobs have been taken over by not illegal immigrants, but computers, robots, you know, automation has taken these people's jobs and they want these jobs and everything else to come back. Well, they're gone. You have to fix yourself. You have to adjust yourself. And, you know, that's a rough thing to do. You know, you've been doing something for 20, 30 years, and they say, oh, that's, you can't do that anymore. Sorry. You got to retrain for something else. What do you do?
It's tough.
You know, when your grandfather, your father, were coal miners, and now they say, well, you can't do that anymore, and that's all you have in your town, what do you do? You know, not every place has creative leaders and everything that to come up with new ideas. And, you know, you look at a state like West Virginia, you know, you have a high school graduation rate less than 50%. What businesses want to set up and tap that worker pool? You know, we're in a high-tech economy. You're going to get passed up. So what you look for is you court the federal government. You know, the only way to lift yourself up is you need federal jobs and federal spending. You need those federal headquarters, those bureaucracy buildings to come in. This is where governments provide things and serve good services, jobs, not based on profit motive. But, you know, that's the part that the business guys miss. You're not bringing coal back. You're going to have to spend and do some pork barrel spending and get these people, you know, employed to help them improve their situation. You can't give them handouts. You got to give them real jobs.
Yes,
and the Democrats, they forgot that. You know, they lifted up a lot of the urban areas and the high tech places, but those, you know, the rural whites, they felt left out because, well, they were, and they didn't. A lot of them didn't want to change though. So they have to take some of the onus on themselves, because those people that did, you know, but you know, I can go on this too long, and
So I mean, I'm gonna throw my two cents in here. As far as, you know, when you look at what the Dems did. Basically, you're right, Chance. They did. They left them out. They left out, essentially, some feel like white America was really left out. And for this, for us to be even covering this and to even be speaking about it, you know, it was some real issues for people that were like, look, why aren't you addressing us? You know, I get it. You know, we're just a bunch of podunk dudes down here wanting to work these mines. But you can't take away someone's livelihood. Now, the retraining aspect, of course, I'm all for that. I actually listened to what Hillary Clinton said. I didn't just listen to what other media outlets say. She literally said, let's get you guys retrained into something that can help you live longer and you can work longer if you decide to do this. The future of this, of energy, is reusable, renewable energy. That's the future. There's no future in coal. You know, we get these mines back up to the best of our abilities, and guess what? 20, 30 years, we have a new crop of men and possibly women with this black lung disease. So now what? You know, that's just what it is. That's what people fail to realize. I am all for people wanting to get back to work. If you're not looking for a handout, I have even more respect for you. So, work? Yes. Putting people back in mines, reusing coal? Horrible idea. Horrible.
Yeah. All around horrible. I mean, it's bad for the environment. Studies have been done. It's bad for the people. Black lung disease, like you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why even push back? Why go? It's like, why are you taking steps backwards? I mean, okay, renewable energy, training, all those things that would have to be. But why? But those people, I believe in people here. I believe that those people with the training, hey, who's not to say that they can be capable? There are jobs there. People have to be willing, and like you say, Chance, you have to adjust to it. I have you two guys. I know you all have.
I sure have.
You have to adjust. That's just a part of the reality of who we are.
Which is why I drink every night. I'm adjusting
our reality. So in one way, we always, when things happen, there's positives to it, because one thing, it can put somebody in your shoes. And just because we went through certain things or certain things happen, I don't think that everybody should go through that. I think everybody deserves a fair shot. And I like what you were saying, Kev, about Hillary. I was listening to a lot of that too. And that makes so much sense to me. And I was thinking, like, why are these people wanting to go back to that? I understand this is all you know, and this is what grandpa, uncle, everybody. It's the same. I come from a background like that. I come from a background of people that go out in that industry, not in coal, but in fossil fuels. We work the deltas, and we work the Gulf of Mexico. I have cousins right now I'm in contact with constantly. They're out there. They're out there on those rigs. That's what my family do. But you can still go away from that. You know, you have to know when to cut your losses. That industry is still going, but eventually my family's probably going to have to have to make some concessions and say, you know what, hey, I'm going to have to go another route, something else I'm going to need to do. And I've had family members, too, that they've done that and went on and did other stuff, too. So those folks down in West Virginia, they're going to have to do the same thing. Some of those, you know. But I think the opportunities need to be there for them also, too. It needs to be recognized, you know.
Definitely. Okay, I got a little bit of feedback in my mic. So you guys give me 1 second. I'm going to refresh this page. Okay. 1 second, Village.
All right,
so we're still recording. Everything is coming back in and bringing the guys on. Got Chance. Let's see here.
Hey, do we still have audio?
Yeah, we're still recording.
Yeah, can you hear me, Chance? I can hear you.
Yeah, we're still recording on Audacity.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, we're still recording. But, okay, so let's move on to this. Let's move on to this next one here. Because, you know, we got three fellas in here. We chopping it up, educated, doing our thing. I want to hit this last point here for Trump, and then we're going to move on to our next segment here. We're gonna skip the last one I had, but the big one right now, Gorsuch, I don't know how to say the guy's name, and the filibuster. How much longer can this act last, and will it actually be an issue? Because now we're looking at conservatives and Republicans saying, you know what, we're going to go ahead, since y'all don't want to play our basketball game, we're going to go ahead and change the rules. So this whole nuclear option, is it really an option? And what does it mean going forward? Go ahead, fellas, what y'all got?
Well, you know, like Barney Frank, you know, what comes around goes around. You know, it's just not always going to be a conservative president and the GOP in control of the House and Senate. And when that pendulum swings, which I believe it's going to swing pretty soon, they may get a very rude awakening, because, you know, nine justices, there's nothing says that there only has to be nine justices. A new president, new administration, new Congress can come in and say, I want 11, and tip the balance the opposite way. So, you know, you got to be careful with what you do and the games you play. It would probably behoove the GOP to go ahead and drop this guy and look for another candidate. Because, you know, if they get him in, be careful, because there's got to be hell to pay regardless. You know, just how much of it and how long do you really want to have to? I mean, it's going to get bad. It's going to get ugly. And I just hope it won't be blood. But at this point, I don't know.
It's really messy, man. It's like, it's just everything, nothing gets moved on. I kind of agree with you. They're going to have to probably get somebody else, because especially with the climate, with everything else that's going on, it seems like everything that they're going to try to push, everything that they're going to try to do, there's resistance to everything that they do. Everything. I mean, and now there's new resistance too, because of just broken promises and stuff. So, I'm trying to get that guy in. Trying to get him in. I don't know. I don't know.
And the sad part is if the nuclear option here. So let's look at the nuclear option. If they decide to do that, what is it they need? What 60 votes? Am I correct? Isn't that how the nuclear option works?
The nuclear option gets rid of the 60 vote threshold. The budget is running out this month.
Yeah.
They're going to need 60 votes to pass anything for the budget. Otherwise, you know, when Obama was president, they threatened to have a government shutdown.
Yeah.
And guess what? Yeah. Coming up in about 3 weeks, we're looking at the potential for another government shutdown. Because they're going to need 60 votes. And they can't change that.
It's almost like a case of...
So, It's absolutely a case of, it's exactly what it is.
It's a case of Boba.
They should have just put, you know, Obama's Supreme Court nominee. They should let him go. He was a moderate judge. He wasn't a liberal. He wasn't a conservative. He was a straight down the middle moderate.
Yeah.
But no, they wanted a conservative.
They want a conservative. They're not going to even chance it. If they figure a moderate can be swayed the other way, can be swayed one way or the other. We don't want that chance of that guy to be that swing vote. In that.
Right. And instead of taking the presidential, because that was a compromise on his part.
Yeah.
Instead of doing that, they chose to block it altogether because they just didn't like Obama.
Yeah, he just didn't like him now, much.
And now that they're facing the same opposition for somebody that's genuinely, you know, looking at an impeachment. Possible treason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we were really at war, he could be shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is how serious this is.
Yeah.
And you know, but they want to go ahead and push this guy through, who can't muster. You know, if you cannot muster the support of 60 senators, you need to get somebody else.
Plain and simple.
Things gonna be some kind of compromise or something between the parties. You think that they're gonna doubt it?
I doubt compromise. You know, conservatives feel one way, liberals feel another way.
Yeah,
that's just what it is, social, man.
Yeah.
You know,
the way things are now, man. A lot of animosities are really, really, they're ramped, man. You know.
Yeah, but here's the bigger piece about all this. Here, the bigger piece is we have these two conflicting sides. No matter who the conservatives put up or the liberals put up, it's going to be some fighting, right?
Yeah.
I, for the foreseeable future, I can see us having being one justice short. That's just what I see right now. For the foreseeable future, we're going to be one justice short. It's just what it is.
I think so. They're not going to be able to come to consensus on that. They're not going to let them come through. Whoever they put up, they're not going to let them come through.
No. Whoever comes up, whether it's a Democratic nominee or a Republican nominee, it's not going to happen for the foreseeable future. It's just what it is.
No.
Yeah.
I think he's going to go through. I think they're going to exercise the nuclear option because they promised to get rid of Obamacare. Failed. They promised to do, you know. Think about all these things they promised. They pissed off because they feel like Obamacare was shoved down their throat. So they want to have something they can show their constituents that they were able to do.
Mm-hmm.
And exercising the nuclear option is, I believe, is going to be that thing to show that they have, in their minds, to show that they have strength. And instead, it's going to backfire. It's going to backfire on them. And it's going to be very interesting to see exactly just how bad it does backfire when it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's quite possible that that nominee, if Donald Trump is impeached for treason, I think there's a very good chance that any and every nominee that he selected could be invalidated.
Well, the whole election could be invalid. I mean, there's so many different things that we're looking at. You know, there's.
Well, they would start by invalidating his Supreme Court nominee, then sending it to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, that's the most important thing to invalidate, man. Because long after a president is gone, their influence is still there.
Yeah.
That judge they put in there.
That Supreme Court nominee is.
You're on there until you croak.
That's it. And so, we just saw that with Scalia.
Man, we've seen it, man. They can hold that court hostage. They really can.
So Trump and Pence. Here's my prediction. Trump and Pence are both going to go down. And we're going to have a president Paul Ryan until the next election. Paul Ryan's got no stones. He's going to go and pull Obama's moderate Supreme Court nominee. And then undo most of Trump's executive orders. And he's going to do it quietly. Yeah. That's my prediction.
Yeah, those two. Those
within
two
1 year.
Long time.
Yep. All right, gentlemen, so for the sake of time, let's move on to this next segment here. This first thing here, I'm going to share with you guys. Let's see here. I actually got to sit up and start playing moderator here. Let's go to screen share.
Chance, man, don't say nothing. Man, you might have some long shows, man.
Got jokes. All right, let's go ahead and focus the screen on this here article that I just came across. So we have our first Latina lesbian superhero. Her name is
Sheryl Rodriguez.
No, you got jokes. her name is America Chavez, and she is Marvel's lesbian Latina superhero. America first appeared in Marvel's Vengeance in 2011. Her creator and the writer is Gabby Rivera, and she's also a lesbian Latina. When we talk about inclusive in this country, you know, this story stuck out to me because essentially, you know, we have black representation in comics, not as strong as we would like, well, as I would like. I'm a comic head. And we have, of course, there's white influence and we have female influence. But there isn't a gay, real strong gay and lesbian influence in comics, and there are plenty of gay and lesbian people that read comics. So we don't have to dig too deep into this, but what does this mean going forward? What do you guys think about this?
I like it. I think it's about time you start representing the actual population and the makeup of the culture and the country at large. Mm-hmm. It's you know, honestly, I look at Michelle Rodriguez. She's the first one to me. That's my girl.
She's like, man. She's all action, man. Everything she's in, she's all action, man. She brings it.
Yeah,
man.
That's it. She's a real life superhero with real life drama.
They need to take some of her characteristics and put them into America Chavez. That's what they need to take some of Rodriguez and put her into that character.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm with you guys. I'm with you, Chance. I mean, hey, everybody's included in this, man. Everybody needs to be represented. When we look at TV, man, I want a representation of everybody. I want to see me. I want my kids to see me. I want, you know, everybody feels that way. We're here. We all contribute to the society. We all put our mark on it, our imprint by just being who we are. So hey, why not? Why not, man? Go for it. You go ahead, kick butt, girl.
That's it. That's it. And that's exactly my sentiments on this, man. This ain't hurting nobody. And this is why I believe it's not hurting nobody. Here's my opinion why. Essentially, we're looking at someone that is representing this country, right? It's not like we're saying, hey, we're trying to stand out or nothing crazy like that. Nothing crazy, right? But there are young children who are Latino, right? That are gay and lesbian, right? They need to see themselves represented in this country. Now, people can say, oh, well, I mean, we got Latinas doing this, Latinos doing that. But yeah, but why can't they have the full spectrum represented is what I'm trying to say. And so that's why I'm definitely all for this. I am definitely all for seeing these people, these young people and things of that nature. So I'm grateful for this. I really am. I really am.
Yeah, it brought a smile to my face when I saw that. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, all the stuff we've been bombarded with, we see progress every day, too. It gets hidden sometimes, but there's progress every day, man.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, Village. So let's move on to these, because we're kind of be hitting these kind of fast. We're already about an hour into the show, and we got a few more topics to cover and some Village idiots here. But let's move on to this next one here. And Chance, boy, I ain't gonna lie, bro. This screen share option, amazing.
I like it too, Kev. I like this thing.
Yeah, man. Yeah, cool.
All right, let me minimize, get rid of this one for a quick second here. It's kind of going, it's cycling through a commercial, and so as soon as the commercial is done, it'll let me know when it's done, and I'll go ahead and focus on the article itself. All right, so that's about done.
And so don't keep us in the dark. What's the article?
Okay, so article is about education, right? Prison system, right? Education is the
where
key.
Trump's gonna be.
Man, you ain't that nice. I got all these mosquitoes and stuff flying. My God. All right, let me see if I can get this thing to focus in here.
I become familiar with.
All right, and let me rewind this. It's about a 2-minute long clip. I want you guys to go ahead and just take a listen.
This is a high security prison. This is going to be our third time coming back here because of this educational program. We've gotten to know Sam pretty well. Sam keeps this prison running, right, Sam?
No, I'm here hanging out.
Yeah, he's not hanging out. He keeps everyone in line. I've become familiar with this prison, not because it's housed notorious murderers like Charles Manson, but because of a prison entrepreneur program we followed for the last year.
If I can conquer 8 years of incarceration, I think that I can definitely become an entrepreneur.
Inmates here learn about technology.
He's becoming this Facebook star.
They pitch their startup ideas to investors from behind bars.
My company, Four Real Ballers, is looking for that next great sports store.
And now they're learning a new language. This is code 7370. Right now, you are actually learning how to code from behind bars.
Yes.
It's a 6-month course now offered by The Last Mile. It's a California nonprofit that teaches prisoners technology and entrepreneurship skills.
I see this program as actually giving me the skills, so when I get out, I have a marketable skill to where I can go out directly from prison into the workforce.
When you've been behind bars for decades, you're not exactly on the forefront of cutting-edge technology.
I've been in 19 years since 1995.
Since 1995. Had you touched a computer before this?
Never.
Here's another challenge. Prisoners don't have internet access.
As a coder, that's sort of critical. So we had to come up with a curriculum and a process that we could simulate a coding environment without actually having an online experience.
It's a lot. They code 4 days a week, 8 hours a day, to build out their future.
My dream job is to build apps. I like to be a computer programmer.
Behind bars, they'll be able to make a real salary.
There's no reason why we can't teach someone in San Quentin, and there's many smart people in San Quentin, to be a very proficient coder.
Some inmates in this class will never step foot outside these bars. But for the ones that do, this technical skill set can be a game changer.
We're creating things from scratch, and we're able to build on our ideas and say, wow, we can take this and go out, and now we see future, we see hope.
Lori Siegel, CNN Money, San Quentin State Prison.
Gentlemen?
Yeah.
That in itself is amazing to me.
That's rehabilitation.
That, exactly, Chance. Rehabilitation. Thank you.
No doubt, man.
My goodness, I was moved by that piece because you got brothers in there presenting ideas, saying, hey, yes, we are in prison. We messed up, but we're not done for. And that's what I love seeing. I don't give a damn. You've committed murder, right? Or whatever the case, armed robbery, whatever the case may be. If the law says you have to do 20 or 30 years, right? When your time is up, you're set free. You can go and start a new life. And that's what I took from that. These brothers are here saying, hey, I messed up. This brother said, I've been here 19 years. Don't know when he's going to get out. It didn't say. But the truth of the matter is, one day he may get out. And guess what? With the skill set that he has, with what he's learning behind bars because of rehabilitation, he'll be able to go and get a damn job. So that's all I got. Yeah, if y'all got anything to say, go ahead, man. Do y'all thing.
Definitely be competitive, man. Those guys be competitive. And that's what it's all about. Those guys get out. I mean, they need to be competitive. Otherwise, it's recidivism. It's going to be right back in prison again. I mean, those guys, you mean, because when a person has no hope, has no opportunities, I mean, that's dope. That's what else does he know? What else is the person going to fall back on? So I think it's great to have those opportunities. It's like Chan say, it's true rehabilitation. You know, prison system, I'm not going to get on my soapbox. I have some things, you know, some of my views about it, but I won't go deep into it like that. But I believe that it's a great thing. And when I saw that, I read the article, but I didn't look at the video. And there's a different power to that when you see it. And I just now, I'm like, whoa, man, sitting back there, touch me. I'm like, whoa. Like, it's great to see that. I hope that mindset, you know, and that those type of policies that could be the perfect example, and that could just be spread around the country, man. There's so much potential behind those bars, man. You want them to come out and be a positive part of society. It keeps everything moving, man. It makes everybody feel good, and it keeps society going the way it should.
Exactly.
You know, I agree with that 100%. I was, my conspiracy theory mind came in when she mentioned that some of these people won't ever leave prison, and you're making them coders.
How much of the chunk are they going to get?
So you're making coders that never leave prison. The first thing that came to my mind is they're going to be working for the NSA as hackers, hacking other countries. Let's say Russia. Yeah. And makes sense to me.
Because that's an interesting thought, because truth is they can just throw them under the bus if something goes wrong.
Sure, they're already under the bus. They're already under the bus.
Already under the bus, too. Oh man. See how there's so many ways things can be, just like you could have something that's just so, not saying that's the case with this, but it's just how thought process. You see how, and this stuff could happen. Not saying that this is gonna happen here, but I think lots of times things that end up, they may start off, the intentions may be genuine and maybe the right thing, but sometimes, man, things just they evolve and they just morph into other stuff. And I can see that, Chance, what you're saying, man. I can see him doing that.
I was just that. But you know, on a whole, this program, I think for right. so long, for way too long, we focused on punishment and mm-hmm. revenge in our prison system, mm-hmm. in our penal system, that we over-incarcerate, we over-criminalize. You know, you spit on the sidewalk, you might get a felony assault. You know, come on. You bump into mm-hmm. somebody, you get a felony assault? What kind of nonsense is that? You know, mm-hmm. I'm all about, I like, you know, Sheriff Arpaio, when he first started coming out, he was big into public shaming.
The pink jumpsuits and stuff like that.
Arizona?
You know, yeah. You know, initially, I think some of the ideas had some merit, because you don't want to over-criminalize everything. But then it morphed into this thing where it became about his ego and show how tough he could be, and not about, you know, actually saving the taxpayer money, reforming the criminal justice system. It all became all about him and his cult of personality. And that's when it got corrupted. And that's why his prison is being shut down, because there was no reason to have those guys living in tents in the Arizona desert.
Arizona.
On its face.
Arizona? We've all been there. What?
Dog.
I didn't know that, Chance. I saw him out there breaking the bricks, breaking the rocks. But, you know,
they were living in Tent City.
Puffing their chest out there like a rooster. He was puffing their chest out there like a
guys. Same guys. They had the pinstripes on too, right?
Yeah. No, that was all good. The old school stripes, pink draws, you know, whatever. That's
no doubt.
Yeah, that's cool.
Keeping it tense.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, when they were doing chain gang stuff, picking up along the road and all that, that was good. But you know, this program, and of course, it's California. San Quentin, California is moving forward and looking at ways to prevent recidivism. You look at other states where they don't care. It's all about the dollars because these are for-profit prisons.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, for-profit prisons. That's our problem. Yeah. For-profit prison. Three words that should never be together.
Yes.
I think the government
You know, and Trump's all for them. So when he's occupying a cell in one and sharing a bed with someone, I hope he's happy.
Remembers the good times.
I made this happen right here. I am the man.
That's right.
Was he on that truck?
Somebody grabs him by his, you know.
Stop.
All right, fellas. So, for the sake of time, because we're about roughly 65 minutes on Crowdcast here. Excuse me, Village. My apologies. Let's move on to this next segment here. Some knee-jerk reaction, because there are so many topics I had written down, and you guys saw the email. But we're already well over an hour. Let me bring up a picture for you guys. And I want to know, I got this sent to me earlier via Facebook Messenger from a good friend of mine. And let me go ahead and screen share option once again. And here's the image. I want you guys to go ahead and take a good peek at that. Read that and tell me what you think.
Oh!
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I'm about to take, man, come on, man. Are they gonna put out something saying Mr. Mark on that one? You know how when they mess up and they do something that's really, really insensitive, they say we missed the mark on it. Have they put something out yet saying they missed the mark on it?
No.
Cause when the first thing I say, okay, whoa. What's all this right here? What's all the what's that? What's the dominating position of the white woman on the black? Okay.
So, if our relevant history hadn't been what our relevant history was, this probably wouldn't be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But since it is what it is kind of an issue because that's I don't know.
That's a position of power. You know, that's a mental thing. Look at that.
So what that makes me want to do is that in my mind, I want to post up the picture of the brother lynching the Klan member.
Yes, that's another provocative image. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of people complained about that. And I understand the image they were trying to portray and everything, and I get it.
I get the idea, but the message is completely lost.
The execution was kind of off.
Yeah. See, the thing is, I think that when these companies put out something like that, where it can be misconstrued or it can be seen as something controversial, I think that they should do. I know companies do this. You go out, you do a public poll. You do a poll, but make the poll very diverse in your demographic.
Mm-hmm.
Go out and do that. I guarantee if they would have went out and did that to a diverse population of folks, we wouldn't be talking about this right now. That wouldn't even come to fruition. That wouldn't even be up. We wouldn't be talking about this.
Yep. You
know, so, but maybe Sony doesn't value that. I don't know. I get on the game, so that makes me wonder when I touch them sticks now and be like, okay.
But see, and that was my point right there. They know that how many black people aren't going to buy that that game console anyway? They know mm-hmm. that, you know. Knowing what we knew, found out about Tommy Hilfiger,
mm-hmm.
people still went out and bought it. You know, it doesn't. So they know that it's they would call it, it's edgy, it's provocative, it's controversial.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's insensitive, arrogant, and kind of I can't say it's racist because it's not racist. It's just
not really racist, but very insensitive. Like.
It's
very
insensitive, that's all.
It's I think you get it right. You know, it's almost like Hollywood whitewashing Asian characters. You know, they get sensitive about that. But they'll then they'll put something like this up here and they say, it's just black folks.
And speaking of Asian whitewashing characters, we're gonna cover that on Saturday. So I forgot about that one. Trust me, we're gonna discuss that one on Saturday. But at the end of the day, I don't think that billboard was created in hate. I just think the person that made it just wasn't thinking. I think he was just an idiot. He or she was an idiot. Yep. The team is an idiot. And I'm mad that whoever the black person was that was part of this team didn't raise a hand and be like,
hey, this may not come off the right way.
The way that y'all thinking is going to come off.
Our intentions are not bad, but it's all about perception.
Mm-hmm.
Our intentions aren't bad, but that is a bad, that does not look good, especially in this time and where we're at. Maybe you could do that in France. You can't do that here. Just too much of a history. But it is real. I mean, you just can't pull that. And it's just, I think it's just a lack of forethought. I think that they just didn't think enough ahead, Chance and Kev. I just think that, and it's unfortunate too, because I mean, they put out good products. I mean, and I've heard nothing bad about them in a negative light, to be honest with you. So it's like you can have all this good stuff you've done, but you make that one right there. That one bad one. Now we're going to think about that. Every time I see Sony, I'll be like, well, not that they're racist, but I know that that's questionable judgment right there.
Yeah. You know, so. Very questionable. Very questionable.
Mm-hmm.
All right, gentlemen. So it's that time of the night. You know, we're going to have a couple. I got so many Village Idiots that have been sent to me. I was trying to filter through and just get the real ripe ones. So what do you say? Let's go ahead, hit some Village Idiots, and then we call it a night. How about that?
All right. Look, Michael Flynn is my Village Idiot anyways.
Yeah. We're gonna cover him on Saturday. Trust me.
We're about to cover Flynn on Saturday,
so don't even trip.
You gotta beat Michael Flynn, man. That's my... you know, he's sitting up there begging for immunity.
All right. The word of God. Woman uses Bible to sneak meth into jail.
Mm-hmm. She watched Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. She got those pages out, huh?
That's right. In Tupelo, Mississippi, today's Bible lesson, it's a bad idea to use a good book to smuggle drugs into jail. The Bible in question was dropped off Thursday for an inmate convicted last week of methamphetamine trafficking and awaiting transfer to a state prison, a Mississippi sheriff said. We search every item that is brought into the jail, and the property officer noticed something wrong. There was a bulge in the back cover of the Bible. We cut it open and found a powdery substance. A local lab identified methamphetamine and said it couldn't identify a second substance, so a sample was sent to the state crime lab. He said Courtney Ford, authority of Nettleton, has been charged with possession an illegal drug and trying to bring contraband into jail. Her bond was set at $75,000. She was facing a charge of possessing a controlled substance and was out on bond when she was arrested. Wow.
Ezell.
When I see stuff like this, let me tell you something. I get people that email me stuff all the time. So a lot of my stuff is people just sending me stuff. You know, I do a little bit of looking myself, but for the most part, I hit emails, man. I'll be like, oh, word? Oh, word? Like the picture, the image that y'all just saw.
Thanks for that one.
The image that y'all just saw of the, you know, the PlayStation thing, that was sent to me from a friend. I don't be finding all this stuff. I'm just lucky enough to have people that know I have a podcast and send me the crazy stuff. And there it is. It just works. It works. So she's Village Idiot number one, right? She's Village Idiot number one. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to close.
Her name is Iza.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Right there in his man.
All right, let's go ahead and get the. Let's move on to this next one here.
Ezel.
Another story. New York Post. Y'all know how this is tonight. New York Post out here repping.
Yes, indeed.
Let me see here. Pull this up. This screen share option is so amazing.
Mm-hmm. Man, I like that new computer, man.
Oh, yeah, I do too, bro. I ain't had no issues with it yet. I'm loving it. And I keep strictly podcast stuff on this one. All right, here you go. Chance. Slink.
Oh, hell.
Boy.
Detective busted for masturbating in stranger's backyard. Let that sink in. Is that Malik Yoba?
Oh, my bad, Malik. Y'all can't get this. My bad, bro.
Wow, my bad, said Malik.
I'm waiting for the beats.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Let's read a little bit of this. Malik Yoba, Edison, New York. I'll be damned. Coincidence. Message.
Oh my God.
An NYPD detective was arrested Sunday for fondling himself in front of the windows of Long Island homes, police sources said. Detective Robert Francis was arrested after one homeowner in Rockville Center called 911 to report that a man was standing in the backyard masturbating.
I know more about masturbating, but I wanted to make sure
There we go. Francis allegedly entered the backyard of more than one home and shined a flashlight inside until he got someone's attention. Then, as the person was looking at him, Francis shined a light on himself to show he was fondling himself.
Oh, my God.
What?
Wow. Wow. He wasn't just peeping. He was like, all eyes on me. Wow.
Yeah, man.
Wow. If he is.
That's strange. That's strange, man.
Man, mental health in this country is real, bro. Mental health is real.
What Lord Fishburne say? That's strange fruit right there.
Strange fruit, man.
Oh, my God.
About to go more. The low-hanging fruit.
My God.
Strange.
Like, what?
Stop. I'm sorry.
You're good. Just damn, though. Let me get this right. One more here, and then...
Good gracious.
Let me see here. Let me get this last one. Oh, this is the one that Andrea sent me. So let me go ahead and use this one. Yeah, is that it? Here we go. Florida in the village.
Yep.
Got to get Florida.
My favorite spot for village kids.
Exactly.
Indeed, our favorite state.
Boom. Here it is. Yes, Lord. Go ahead, guys. Fake Florida doctor who enhanced buttocks with cement. Caulking gets 10 years for manslaughter.
Oh, oh. Oh my God.
And look at her. Oh, my all God.
All the pursuit in the dunk? It looked like she got a Like one of them bricks in the back, like a cinder block.
She look like she got a pillow back there, bruh. That's a pillow. Wait, that booty shape?
Gosh.
Her booty is like a square box Chevy in the back. It's one of them box Chevys.
Oh my God.
She's got the Gremlin hatchback. A little AMC Pacer.
She got something.
Yeah, remember the Pacer. Yeah, man. She do got a Gremlin back. Oh my God.
Man. Yeah, bro.
Only thing she had to look. Oh man. See that's late. She was being a little lazy right there. She
Wait, a minute, but you said manslaughter.
Yeah, let me read
a little bit. She didn't die, did she?
Well, let's read a little bit of this here story here. From a Florida prison in November 2011, Chautauqua, a newbie penned a letter to the state's health department about her cosmetically enhanced buttocks. Her rear end had hardened and turned black, she wrote. Side effects from years-old injections left the mother of three feeling sick, and she claimed her surgeon, O'Neill Ron Morris, was the same faux cosmetic doctor that police had arrested and accused of pumping a near-lethal formula of cement, mineral oil, bathroom caulking, and fix-a-flat tire sealant into the woman's body. Her patients called her Duchess. Officials began investigating and interviewed Newby. But 4 months later, she was dead. The official cause of death was respiratory failure.
Oh, man. You know, I heard about this doctor putting that stuff in the ladies, man. But, man.
Look, I'm going to keep saying it, man. It's hard out here for a pimp, man. Accept what the good Lord gave you. Accept what the good Lord gave you. If you got no booty.
That lady lost her life, man. But folks, women out there, please. I'm new to the village, but I want to make a public service announcement right here. Ladies, please, work with what the good Lord gave.
That's it.
It's good. So everybody likes something and something, mm-hmm. something. So work with what the good Lord gave you. Get in the gym, do a little this, little that. If you want a booty, just do what you got to do.
Do squats and lunges and take care of all that.
You know, the crazy part is, you get a woman with junk in the trunk. She wants the pancake. You got a woman with the pancake. She wants like Nicki Minaj. Come on, be happy with what you. Everything has its advantage. What you got. Man. Love you.
Love who you are. That's all self love.
Mm-hmm. You know? What you got, Chance?
Man, I'm.
Like, just,
you know,
three silent black men right now.
You know, just,
yeah.
But, you know,
that's the work.
This dude, he needs his 10 years. But, Malik Yoba. Malik Yoba. he's gonna flash the light in the house, and he's like, hey. You know,
I got something for you. Hey, look, trying to get your attention.
And I'm mad. What? So are we unanimous in Village Idiot is the NYPD officer, aka Malik Yoba? Because that's my pick for Village Idiot, hands down.
Malik Yoba. So it's inside between us and the village. You call somebody Malik Yoba. Hey, sorry, Malik. But. You know, that's an offense now. That's one of the offending words now. So when we see each other, it's our inside joke. And one of us acted up. Hey, get your Talbot Jamal. Hey, Slink, you, Malik Yoba, get your computer together, man.
Yes,
I'm loving it, man.
Get your life together.
Glad you guys have me on here with y'all, man. I love it, man.
Yes, sir. Trust me when I say it's a grind, man. When you're just trying to push and Chad sent me some stuff, and I'm gonna try to do that probably next week. I don't know, but it's gonna be happening real soon. It's so much going on. Village, y'all just gotta ride with us. Just know that I'm working hard. hard at this. So, yeah. Chance, what's your Twitter, sir?
Yeah, I'm at Chance W. Brown.
All right. Hey, Slink, what's your Twitter, sir?
At Slink Grindstone.
And just so y'all know, Slink also makes beats, y'all. Y'all heard some of the beats from the previous seasons. He does make those beats. He does sell those beats. So if you're looking for a beat, you can. I believe your email is slinkgrindstone@gmail.com, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's it correctly. And they could also find me on BeatStars. If you look BeatStars anywhere on the net, you just type in Slink Grindstone. It'll probably pretty much guide you to where you need to. You know, so that's it. That's pretty much it, man.
That's it. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is the Village. This is what we do. We help each other. We promote each other. So yes, I'm sir. At Enlighten My Mind. I also handle the Village Twitter handle at W2TheVillage. You can email us at welcometothevillage@gmail.com. You can check us out on our website, welcometothevillage.com. It's still under construction. I'm still trying to figure some things out as far as how I want to put the shows up, the formatting, things of that nature. So it's just taking me a little bit of time, but I am working on it. It's a work in progress. It's like I got one small hat and I got a billion things trying to be dumped into this one hat. And so sometimes some things have to, you know, kind of sit for the second on the rim of the hat, and I work on other things to get that done, then go to the next project and the next project and the next project. So right now the big thing is, you know, if you guys would so kindly go check out the Etsy page, we're selling shirts and wristbands. We have new shirt ideas, working with our shirt guy to try to get some more things going. So, you know, we're constantly moving. Look Village, look for our next major campaign for our t-shirts, the Bleed Your Dream campaign. I've been working on sayings and slogans. I've been working on a lot of different things for that. So that's going on behind the scenes. I'm always in this extra bedroom working, grinding, doing something. So you guys can also check us out at, you can send us a message, 619-202-1562. I have nothing else for the night. I know Chance also is working on some other projects as well. He's, you know, working on some Senate seats and stuff like that. And, you know, we over here, Village ain't no punks. We just grown men that got a lot of things going on. So is it going to take us a little bit longer to get there? Yeah. But when we get there,
oh yeah,
just say, hey, that's all you got to do. That's it. So Village, my brothers, I appreciate y'all coming through. We will be live 8 a.m. Saturday morning, next live show. You guys will get the recorded version of this show on Thursday as usual. As the saying goes, we love you. We thank you. God bless you. You guys have a great night. Gone.
God bless y'all. Y'all take care.
Take it easy.